Hi there, and welcome to The B-Side, presented by Iowa Public Radio Studio One. We're here to talk about the summer music festival season. I'm Tony Daner. I'm here with Tressa Glass and Mark Simmet. Hey, guys.
Hi.
Hi there.
And we're also being joined today by IPR talk show producer Lindsay Moon. Hey, Lindsay.
Hello.
We're glad to have you with us. And Lindsay herself, no stranger to the music festival scene, so we're really looking forward to having her insights today.
Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. And if you're listening to this, I know what you're thinking, and the answer is yes, we probably should have done this before 8035, but a little later on we'll be talking about how to survive a long weekend at a music festival, and maybe right now while 8035 is still fresh in our minds, this is the time to talk about that. Mark, anything to add to that one?
it was a lot of fun. Also quite exhausting, long days, but you know, good. It's a good exhaustion. You know, you're trudging all over the place and the heat wasn't too bad. Wilco was good. The heat was
where were you? We were under a heat advisory all
weekend. Really?
If
I'd known that, I probably would have just laid in the shade, but I think it's worse today, actually. So
I think so, too.
It wasn't too bad. And Wilco was good. That was the band I wanted to see the most. It seems like they did have a bit of an off night, I've heard. They only played an hour and a half. But still, well worth seeing and really a good time. I enjoyed it. Tressa?
Yes. I managed to catch all of Weezer. That was about the only one I saw all the way through. And it was everything my, you know, sixth grade self ever wanted it to be. They played a lot of old favorites, not a whole lot from their new album, but they were very good performers, very energetic. They played to the audience. They just seem like nice, nerdy guys, which just makes them a lot more likable and easy to listen to. And they're like, the sound itself was actually pretty fantastic. So I was happy with it.
Do you guys think it seemed like they were excited to be there? We talked with the organizers as a part of a show we did on River to River, and they mentioned that they've been trying to book Weezer for almost like since the beginning of that festival's inception, I guess.
I believe it. Sometimes it is hard to convince bands to come to Iowa, but they hit it well, at least. I think that's at least, I've always seen Rivers Cuomo, the lead singer of Weezer. He's always been kind of apathetic look is kind of his thing. Even through all the music videos, he just kind of stares at the camera. And I don't know, what did you think, Lindsay?
I wasn't actually there, that's why I'm curious.
Oh, okay. Yeah. No, they looked, I didn't sense any disapproval of being in Des Moines from where I was at anyway.
The crowd sounded like they were into it, but they usually are by Saturday night.
Yep.
You know, you could have I don't know, Lawrence Welk up there, and they would be going nuts.
Lawrence Welk.
That may be going a little far.
I might be taking a little far there. You're right. We'll edit that out later.
And I heard Run the Jewels was a crowd favorite, but I did see on Facebook there was some dissension on parents that had their kids ready to go for Weezer. But this is always my thing, though. I say it's your responsibility as the parent to look up the bands ahead of time. And if you did any research on Run the Jewels, you would know not to have your young children there. And plus, then there was this scandal with Talib Kweli.
Yeah.
Yeah. So they
did
cut
you
him.
Hear about this, Lindsay?
No, I didn't. What happened?
His set ran a little long on Friday night. Talib Kweli, a hip-hop artist, closed down one of the free stages. And his set was supposed to end, was it 9 o'clock? I think it was about 9 o'clock, and at 9:10 he was still going. So his mic was cut off before his last song, and he was not pleased and went on a long Twitter rant about it and got into a bit of a Twitter beef, a Twitter beef with some of the festival organizers over whether or not his mic should have been cut. We won't get too heavily into it now. All the tweets are still there. There's articles about it. But yeah, that was kind of I don't know if it was a black mark on the weekend, but it left a bad taste in some people's mouths, I think.
One thing about 8035 is I think they really strive to stick to their schedule. You know, it seems like everything does start pretty close to when it should. So I can see where that could have been a bit of a decision. Do we cut them off? What do we do? You know,
sure.
So that's the way it goes. And we should mention that we did have several of the bands, 8035 bands, on our own little stage for IPR Studio One, which was really cool to see them in, you know, a bit more informal setting. I assume that a lot of them played parts of the same act they had already played or were going to play. It wasn't really a totally unplugged or even nearly unplugged.
No, plenty of electric guitars.
Plenty of electric guitars. And but so we, you know, we kind of got little pieces of the bands, even though we might not have made it over to the other stages to see them. So we got a pretty good flavor of the festival, and it's always a good time at 8035.
And all of those performances, as of today, are on our website, iowapublicradio.org. Also easily accessible through the new IPR app, available from both iTunes and Android. So go get that today if you haven't already.
Just slip another plug
get yours
in there.
Today. Sure.
You know,
it's free.
I think that it's really cool that we, as a station, and this is me coming from the news side of things, I think it's cool that you guys do that booth. It's always fun to go to the free stages where there maybe is a smaller crowd, because you can get to know some of the artists. I think that's one of the cool things about the festival scene. Did you guys have any conversations with folks that were there that you maybe that stick out for you from the weekend?
That's a good question.
You mean the performers?
Yeah. Yep. Did you meet anybody there that now?
Well,
like,
yeah, the people that came to our stage, I did a little interview with them before they played. So we, you know, very informal, just a little chat. And I would say that every single one of them seemed to be at least very appreciative of getting another opportunity to play and being able to play on our stage. And they were very approachable. People in the audience would come up to them. So, yeah, you're right. The smaller stages do have that advantage. Main stage, not quite like that.
A lot of the bands that we got at our stage were no strangers to Iowa, for sure, and in some cases the festival. John Wayne and the Pain, a band that we were lucky to host at our stage, has been in Iowa quite a bit. Their bass player now lives in Urbandale. And they played the festival for at least the second time I'm aware of. And we'll be talking about them later on in this conversation, too. Head for the Hills, who have been on Java Blend. Who else did we have that's been on the IPR airwaves before? The Olympics, Christopher the Conquered. Canby.
Yes, many of the local bands have been on Studio
but
One.
But, you know, I also had a chance to talk to the guys from Amasa Hines, a terrific band from Arkansas that we all unfortunately didn't get a chance to catch their set, but they were really interested in what we were doing. I got a CD from them. Great guys. They were very impressed with Iowa. I'm hoping they'll be back, you know, relatively soon. I don't think it'll be before the end of the year again or anything like that. But yeah, I think overall some of the artists that we talked to were really pleased with how everything went. And we're, you know, would like to come back to Iowa or Des Moines. I think it was LP from Run the Jewels who said, "Thank you, Iowa City," during their set.
Really?
with predictable results.
Uh-huh.
That could be another segment in itself. I went to a Snow Patrol concert and they said, "Hello, Des Moines."
Oh, everyone was so many people have done that. Yes. So many people have done that.
So would this be a good time to segue?
Yes, let's
into
move
the
on.
Actual,
let's move on.
Rather than just the performances, like life at a festival. Let's do that later.
Let's move on to what's coming up in the coming months. And I was talking to Lindsay a little bit before we got started here. We're mainly here to talk about festivals in and around Iowa. Everything else we're talking about is going to be in Iowa. But Tressa, we'd be remiss if we didn't talk about the fact that in 2 days, you'll be at the Pitchfork Festival in Chicago.
In
a
few days, yeah.
A few days, okay.
This coming weekend, I will be at Pitchfork, and I'm working on getting some interviews with a few artists, notably, don't quote me on this, but Natalie Prass is in the works. So I'm excited about that, and yeah, it'll be great. It'll be interesting. Hopefully, the experiences from Gentlemen of the Road and 8035 will come in useful, because this is like that was boot camp for Pitchfork. So, yeah, I'll be there. Check out the website to follow my activities. I'm working on a post right now to direct people of where to find more information about it.
Who are you excited to see?
Everyone. But Actually, I probably can miss Wilco now that I saw them, but they will be there. Sleater-Kinney.
But it'll be a hometown show for them.
So. Yeah, yeah. Sleater-Kinney, Future Islands, Churches, The New Pornographers, Caribou, Panda Bear. I could keep going.
And
Jamie
the list
XX,
goes on and on.
Like,
wow.
Ariel Pink will be there. Oh, like, man. Anyone that you, we pretty much play everyone on Studio One that's going to be at Pitchfork.
This is like the Tressa Ultimate Mixtape of a festival coming up at Pitchfork.
Tressa's Dance Party is coming soon to Pitchfork.
Purity Ring going to be there?
Yeah, I wish.
Is Father John Misty going to be there?
No, he's not.
Okay.
But right. He was in Iowa City. I missed my chance to see him.
I think Pitchfork has got to be like the premier festival for the indie rock world. And, you know, our, as you said, we play all those bands. So nobody does it better or has more bands than Pitchfork, right?
No.
In indie rock?
You get, if you're smart and you're an artist, you stay on Pitchfork's good side. So if they ask you to do Pitchfork Music Festival, you say yes.
You know, I remember reading... This is just something on a blog a while ago, how to organize a music festival. And this was written by some inside person. I probably should have pulled it up before doing this. But he had said something about how there was a band that had a lot of good buzz, but they got a bad Pitchfork review, and now nobody has heard of them since. He declined to say who that was. Mark, any care to guess?
I don't know, but I could see where that could be true. Because they're very they're well respected with their reviews. You might not always agree with them, and they're so specific with their numbering system. You know, 7.6.
The numbering system kind of rubs me the wrong way.
Well, it goes both ways. Definitely.
And we've joked. There was an Onion thing about it. Even what was it, Tressa?
It was like Pitchfork gives music a 6.8 or something like that. That seems to be true. Yeah, the six and the sevens is a good place to land and. It's hard to get above that.
And Pitchfork is a city festival, not a camping festival, right?
Yes. Yeah. Okay. It's in the middle of Chicago. I think my brother lives in Chicago and he's going out of state for the weekend. For that and Lollapalooza, he just like gets up and leaves because he doesn't want to deal with like the mess on the subways. And
so it's not like obviously, they can't contain it to the extent that 8035 is, because that's just like 8035 is like a 6-block area where you can just walk from one end to the other in about 10 minutes. Pitchfork, not really possible.
No, right, the public will be intermingling. They'll have to intermingle with the Pitchfork crowd, which for better or for worse.
Does most of this take place in a couple of like stage, like do they build stages or is there?
Yeah, there's a big park. The name of the park that it's in is escaping
Grant
me.
Grant Park, I believe.
Does any of it take place
unless
in some
they moved
of the?
It.
I'm not sure. I should definitely know that. But they basically have it. Apparently, it's been getting more cramped every year, just because of the larger crowds year after year. But they do have different stages. It's like the green, blue, and red stage. So you basically run around from those and. Supposedly, there's a press tent close to the backstage area, so that will be nice for me. But yeah, they try and contain it to a park, but the park is in the middle of the city, so there's not a lot you can do about it.
So none of it spreads into like these little clubs that are around Chicago or anything like that?
I don't think for Pitchfork they do it that way.
No, but there are after parties.
Oh,
like,
yes.
I think I'm going to a Lower Dens after party, hopefully. So like anyone who didn't quite make the cut for the real festival, they just kind of... book a venue near it.
Very cool. Well, yeah, we'll be looking forward to your updates there, Tressa. So good luck at that.
Thank you.
And yeah, everybody keep an eye on Tressa's Twitter, IPR Studio One on Twitter. And so let's move on a little bit closer to home. Lindsay, you're going to be at Camp Euphoria. Is that this weekend?
It is. It's Thursday night, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday this year. They've added that Thursday night pre-party as a new part of that festival this year. So I'm pretty excited. I actually won a ticket to go
thanks to
Ecolips, which is one of the sponsors. So shout out to Ecolips. Buy your chapstick there. so it'll be the second time that I've been to Camp Euphoria. I went in 2011. And it's expanded quite a bit since then. So I'm excited to see sort of what it's grown into.
I've got the schedule here right in front of me. So are you going to be there Thursday night? Because I see the Maytags are playing, friends of ours here at Studio One.
Yeah, yep, I am going. I'm excited to see them. And also Jack Lyon is going to be playing on Thursday night, I think. And they played a Java Blend show. And KRUI, actually the student radio station in Iowa City, they played a benefit for them at the Mill in Iowa City maybe about a month ago. And so they're sort of a psychedelic jazz, I would classify them. So I'm excited to see them as well.
Nice, nice. Mr. Baber's Neighbors, I see on here, bluegrass band, the Wood Brothers. That's a good band.
Yeah, yep, yep. So I also, I mean, wanted to mention a few of the bands that aren't necessarily featured as headliners at the festival.
Absolutely.
One of my favorite parts about going to festivals is to see bands that you haven't necessarily heard of before. So I'm pretty excited about the band called The Herd, and they're playing the 1 a.m. show on Friday night, so hopefully I'll still be awake to see them. But they're a Chicago-based sort of funk rock band. If you're You guys have played a lot of St. Paul and the Broken Bones.
Yes.
And so they're sort of in that same sort of funk rock space, which I'm excited to see. And then also the Candy Makers are playing at KB4E this weekend as well, which I think you guys have played them. They've played a Java Blend show before.
Yeah, yep.
Yep. And so I'll be excited to see them. And then also James Bean, who is from Des Moines, plays pretty regularly at a blues club on Ingersoll called the Greenwood. And he's going to be there with his band playing one of the afternoon shows on Saturday. So I'm looking forward to seeing him as well. He's pretty good to play live. He plays an interesting blues guitar acoustically. So.
We've been playing James Bean's music on Studio One a little bit. We got his CD a few months ago.
Yeah.
Does that sound right?
Yeah, yep. I think he recorded that album this winter, and he released it maybe around Christmas time, I want to say.
And there's another Iowa artist on here with a new album, Fire Sale, that's going to be playing at the festival.
Yeah, yep, they should be good. So KB4E is actually pretty interesting. It's different from Pitchfork and 8035, the two that we've already spoken about, in that it's a camping festival, and so you go sort of camp there for the weekend and also get to go see the bands. So it's not like you're going back to a hotel, and so it's maybe a different feel, just because no one has showered and doesn't really have the option to, for better or for worse. So yeah, it started actually, the band that really headlines it is Youth Orchestra. They play every night, and the KB4E started as like a fan appreciation party for that band, which is originally from Iowa City and is now relocated to Colorado these days. So
awesome. I think we play them as well. And
oh, yes.
we have
their instrumental tracks and everything.
They still come back to Iowa a fair amount. They mainly come back for Camp Euphoria, but they were at 8035 a couple years ago.
Probably.
That was the same year that David Byrne played. I think they came back specifically to see David Byrne. It's like, let's play, and that'll be our excuse to go back to Iowa.
All right.
Youth Orchestra, if you're listening, and we know you are, get to us with that.
Okay.
So. Okay.
Tress is checking her watch. Okay.
You know, I think somebody said that this is the, and it's probably true, the biggest year for festivals in Iowa ever. It's got to be.
It has, yes.
Oh, yeah, especially mm-hmm. probably with Hinterland and Des Moines. Yeah. I guess on the festival, I'm more of a fan of camping festivals than I am of city festivals. I like being able to go stay somewhere. And I like camping and the aspect of, like, waking up. And, you know, Camp Euphoria also is different from some of the other festivals in that they have, like, yoga workshops as a part of the day in addition to the music.
Cool.
Yeah, and Gentlemen of the Road was kind of like a smaller version of that.
Yeah.
You know, there was camping, but certainly no amenities for the campers.
Not really.
Yeah, you had to pay to shower, $7 to shower.
Oh, wow. Okay. So they did have that available at least. But yeah, $7.
Yeah,
so.
Not very many people.
They
used
could just
it.
Stand out in the rain. They would have been fine.
Yeah. Seriously, after that rain shower Saturday morning.
Well, that segues quite well into our next festival we're going to talk about, where you have the option to camp. Not everybody will. I will not be, just so you all know. It's the Hinterland Music Festival, happening in Des Moines for the first time ever. This one kind of snuck up on everybody. Is that fair to say?
Yeah, well, it's kind of the last big one, because we've done 8035, you know, and then there's going to be Camp Euphoria, then Pitchfork, and then Hinterland. It's like one last push for Hinterland.
Right, and then there'll also be Maximum Ames.
Yes.
Right, we'll get to that later.
Kind of a different one. So it's like every time you think you're aware of all the festivals, because I know there are many smaller festivals that don't get the same kind of media attention, perhaps, and don't have quite as big, the bands aren't as big, or they specialize in a certain genre of music, you know, bluegrass festivals. There was a festival in Fairfield the same weekend as
right.
Gentlemen of the Road. So there's just tons of mm-hmm. festivals out there.
Well, the thing that, and we worked on this with Lindsay at about the time that Hinterland was announced, because, you know, 8035 doesn't announce its lineup until April, and this and the festival happens at the beginning of July. And here, I think it was February or March, Hinterland comes along, announces a weekend 3 weeks after 8035. And, oh, by the way, we're going to have TV on the Radio and Future Islands
right.
and Edward Sharp and the Magnetic Zeros and all these other bands. And I remember thinking, boy, a lot of people are going to have to choose one or the other.
Yeah. Well, and they also, I think one of the things that they did right when they announced that festival is that they announced the headliners right away. Like,
yes.
this is happening yeah. as a festival. By the way, here's our lineup. And I remember getting the, so we did a segment on that on River to River, which is our Noon Hour Talk program. And somebody had called me and said, hey, did you see that Edward Sharp is playing at 8035? And I was like, no, they're not.
yeah.
And then had to look into it. So I don't know. I think it'll be interesting to see if Iowa can continue to sustain as many festivals as we've seen this summer. Or if there will be a little bit of fatigue from folks that like to go see music. I guess we'll find out.
Yeah, I guess we will. So yeah, this is a pretty incredible lineup for the first year of this festival. As we mentioned, TV on the Radio, St. Paul and the Broken Bones, Brandi Carlile, the Envy Corps from Iowa, not quite as big a get maybe, but great band, so what the heck. Future Islands, Yonder Mountain String Band, Justin Towns Earl, who am I forgetting?
Edward Sharp and the Magnetic Zeros.
Right, mentioned them.
Old Crow Medicine Show?
Yes, yes.
They're
wow.
going to be awesome.
I think now they are the final band on Saturday night, aren't they?
Yes.
Okay. Cool. And that's one that we talked about. You can camp or not. Lindsay, are you camping at that one?
I'm not going to be, but mainly that's just because, you know, it's about a $75 ticket with the processing fee. And then on top of that, camping is really expensive at Hinterland.
It is. So, it's over $100
for yeah.
camping site.
And I think part of that is maybe just because of the space that they have. I mean, Waterworks Park is not big enough, I don't think, for everyone at that festival to also be able to camp there. So I think they had to, you know, mind the space that they were operating in.
That could be.
And the camping spot you get is actually pretty huge. Like, I was looking at the dimensions, and I think you can like park your car and do a couple tents in there, and it's for like four people, so you can have space for four people, I supposedly. So that's where the money's coming in.
Yeah, and I mean, I would like to be able to camp there, but I don't think I'm going to. So
also, I guess I don't really enjoy camping at music festivals, just because I don't like leaving my possessions unattended while, like, I just, it's just something in my head. Like, part of me is not going to be with the music. It's going to be wondering if someone is, like, stealing my sleeping pad or something out of my tent, or just, because there's absolutely nothing you can do about it unless you want to pack it all up, stick it on your back, and hang out with that for the entire day, which actually most people won't let you in with a huge backpack. So,
and we'll be talking about large backpacks a little later on, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah.
You have some strong opinions on that.
I do. It's true.
Any more thoughts on Hinterland before we move on? I'm going to take that as a no. Okay. All right. Well, I want to talk real briefly about the River Roots Festival that happens in Davenport every year. This was one that kind of caught my attention last year, because I was just goofing around on Facebook and saw this, and they had like the North Mississippi All-Stars and Robert Randolph, the Jayhawks, Twins from Waterloo played at that one. I was like, wow, how did I not know about this? So a few things you should know about the River Roots Festival. First of all, there is also a festival in Indiana called River Roots. So if you're looking up the Davenport one, it's riverrootslive.com. It is a combination music festival and barbecue competition. They just decided to combine them one year. And also, tickets are really cheap. If you get if you want to get a pass for the whole weekend, it's $15.
Huh. Wow.
I think it's $10 for a day. And at least last year, if you showed up before like 4 o'clock, it's free. So if you're only kind of into music, you're probably not listening to this podcast. But if you know somebody who's only kind of into music, this would be a good one to take them to, and it'd be a good one to take your whole family to.
Who's playing this year?
Mavis Staples is playing this year. And I've missed two opportunities to see Mavis Staples at Gallagher Bluedorn in the past year or so. So if everything goes according to plan, we'll be catching her this time. Casey Musgraves is playing, a country artist who's been getting a lot of buzz lately. The sum total of my research on Casey Musgraves is watching a YouTube clip about half an hour ago. Sounded good to me. Yonder Mountain String Band will be there again, and a band from Marshalltown, Land of Blood and Sunshine, playing at the River Roots Festival this year.
Sounds cheery.
I would describe them as kind of a loud Mamas and the Papas.
And, yeah, a little loose, a little psychedelic sometimes.
They've actually played in our studios, and yes, you can find that on our website, iowapublicradio.org. So
Mavis Staples is the big headliner then?
I think she is not the big headliner, I don't think. I think she's playing at like 8:45 on Friday, and then somebody is playing after her. I think it might be Casey Musgraves.
I think it's Hello Goodbye, actually.
That's right.
I'm a big fan of them from like high school. So
well, great.
I'm really excited to see them.
Tell us more about Hello Goodbye then, please.
They're more of like a pop band. They're sort of in the same lines as a band like Cute Is What We Aim For, if anybody is familiar with them.
I was young. I caught Hello Goodbye. They opened for Paramore in Minneapolis last year. So they're great live, actually. I would go see them again.
Okay, I pulled up the schedule here, and Luke Bell will be there. The Suffers, Mickey and the Motorcars, Jonathan Tyler, Melina Moy. I don't know if I'm pronouncing her name right. The Ellis Kell Band, kind of a Quad City institution. The Studio 8 Showcase winners, I'll have to look into that. Sounds like they have a little competition happening. And it looks like there's a band yet to be announced that'll be playing on Friday.
Hmm.
So this is a great little festival that I think kind of flies under a lot of people's radar that I would strongly encourage you to check out.
Wait, so over is Hello Goodbye going to be there? Did I miss
you? No, they are.
Yeah,
they are.
10:15 on Friday night.
What city is this in?
This is in Davenport. Oh, and one other kind of cool thing about this festival, they've got two stages that are right next to each other. So one band will be set up and playing, and then the band playing next sets up on the stage next to them. So as soon as band is playing, there's almost no changeover that has to happen. So these bands play within about 15 minutes of each other.
Nice.
That almost sounds well organized.
Yeah. There's also going to be a bounce house. So for parents,
oh my gosh,
I'm waiting for the adult bounce house at a festival, but maybe that's just my age.
you could always borrow a kid, Lindsay. Nobody would ask questions.
Can I take your child to the bounce house?
I know you don't look like you want to go jump in there right now, but I do.
And September, still technically summertime,
right. So
let's talk about the Maximum Ames Festival really quickly.
Well, before we get to that, it popped into my head, the Mississippi Valley Blues Festival.
Oh, of course. Oh, my gosh.
It's what, Labor Day weekend this year?
I think that's correct. And you know what? I think the South Skunk Blues Society has moved. No. The Newton Bowlful of Blues is normally that weekend, Labor Day weekend. And this time, for the first year ever, the Mississippi Valley Blues Festival is also that weekend.
Right.
So, conflicting blues festivals this year.
yes. And that, you know, I haven't been to the Newton Festival, but Mississippi Valley Blues Festival has always been a great blues festival. And even if you think that you don't necessarily are going to appreciate nothing but blues, it works. You know, I mean, blues encompasses a wider range than you may think of music. And I have no idea who's appearing there this year, but that's a long-running festival and a great one in Iowa, so we had to get that in there.
I'm looking it up right now, Mark, and boy, I am not sure they have announced a lineup yet. In fact, if you go to their main page, it just says, it looks like they are still soliciting submissions for slots. So that's kind of interesting.
Hmm.
Phil Moss and I were at Bowl Full of Blues last year and caught one of Lindsay's favorite bands, actually, Kilbourne Alley Blues Band. That was a great set.
That set also, I mean, I've seen them live several times. And the set that they did last year at the Bowl Full of Blues in Newton, I mean, Andy Duncanson, who is the vocalist for that band, just did an amazing job during their set. Like, he's always good, but he was phenomenal, specifically, I think, at that show last year. Hopefully they'll come back.
Okay, well, I now have the Bowl Full of Blues pulled up, and if I'm seeing the correct year, it looks like they've got the Lamont Cranston band coming, who did the last Friends of KHK KUNI Blues Blowout, Mississippi Heat, James Bean again, and Rob Lombard and Matt Woods. And another thing about this festival is you can take a cooler in with you. Mm. Most of these festivals you cannot. They insist you buy from them. And it also says no glass or pets.
Huh.
Okay, so you can bring in the cooler, but no glass in it.
Or pets. Or I pets hope they didn't have something involve a glass and a pet one year. It'd be awful.
Terrible incident that happened.
Okay, now should we move on to Maximum Ames? Wow. All right.
Maximum Ames, yes. So that's further on in September, correct? Is that like mid-September?
It's early in this year. I think it's September 10th, give or take. I'm going to look that up really quick. So for a minute, please.
Okay. Maximum Ames Festival in Ames. You know, every festival we've mentioned does it differently, it occurs to me. You know, the stage setup is different. You've got camping or no camping. You've got clubs involved or not. In the case of Maximum Ames, it's different. It's one of those festivals with different venues around Ames where you go to catch the bands. So a different kind of a festival.
Oh, awesome. I haven't even looked at their lineup. And so the Mountain Goats?
Mountain Goats are playing.
Yeah. X-Hex, Michael Cronin.
Yeah, a lot of bands that we've been playing a lot over the last year. X-Hex, a great band. And I've got the dates right here. It's September 10th through the 13th. So it's almost a whole week.
Wow.
Yeah. And not quite as long as Maximum Ames. And not quite as long as Mission Creek, which I think it kind of sounds like a similar setup, okay. Multiple venues. As far as I know, there's no food component to this one, no literature technology. It's just, you know, a music festival. And I looked a little bit at the ticket structure earlier. You can buy a pass for the whole weekend. You can also buy an all-ages pass, which doesn't let you into bars. Wouldn't be applicable to us, but if you wanted to take, you know, your teenager who's just discovering rock and roll, this would be a good situation. Or you can buy tickets to individual events. But I think if you're going to go to even two events, probably the whole weekend pass is the way to go. Because I think it's like $39 or something like that.
Yeah.
And reasonable. And the big headliner for this is Grandmaster Flash.
Right. It's like, whoa. Wow, historic guy, one of the originators of hip-hop music, rap.
For sure.
Music. Yep. You know, would be interesting to see what he's going to do.
Tressa, you look like you have something to say about Grandmaster Flash.
I'm just excited.
I couldn't help but notice you didn't mention Grandmaster Flash.
I know. I was browsing here. Okay. But yeah, just one of these things is not like the other. So like the Mountain Goat, like all these indie bands,
right.
And then Grandmaster Flash. I was kind of like, I didn't want to say it because I was like, is this a mistake?
Right. Yeah, exactly. It is a little bit out of the indie rock realm, I guess, of the other artists who definitely are in that realm. A couple years ago, they had the Zombies, you know?
Yeah.
Which was a really interesting choice because it had appealed to the baby boomers and also to the hipsters at the same time.
Sure, sure.
And it was an equal mixture, 50-50 in the audience. So, you know, maybe not quite equal. But
a good selection of regional artists at this, too. From Minnesota, we have John Wayne and the Pain coming back to Iowa. Charlie Parr from Duluth. And then from Iowa, we have BJ Fleming, Anna Libera, Brooke Strauss. These are mostly Maximum Ames artists, but not all of them.
Brooke Strauss now is on Maximum Ames. Yeah, I don't think that they limit the Iowa bands. You have to be on our label. But I'm sure their label is well represented there. The Maximum Ames label we're talking about. In case anyone's wondering, that's...
Yeah, based in... based in, obviously, in Ames, but they represent artists all over Iowa.
Yeah. So is that then the capper on the festival season?
That's the last one I have. There are probably, as we've been talking about, there are festivals everywhere.
Yeah.
There's probably some that we missed. I don't even know where to tell you to begin to look for the music festival nearest you. So,
right?
Yeah, there should be a website
just
completely
about,
dedicated
yeah.
to like your one-stop shopping place for all your festival needs.
And you know, we touched on this earlier, but do you guys seriously think we might be looking at some sort of a music festival bubble that's going to burst at some point?
I think a lot of it will have to do with how well Hinterland does, you know. As I think Lindsay mentioned, if it is really successful, then I think it's full steam ahead, you know. But that's a real test, having it so soon after 8035, also in Des Moines. You know, are people going to be willing to? Of course, you could have gone to 8035 and not seen the main stage acts, seen a lot of great music and not had to pay for any of it.
You can go to 8035 and spend no money other than on food and still have a great
time.
That
could be done, yeah. And you could even find a way to not have to buy the food there. Not that we're recommending
true.
That. You could get by on drinking the water only.
Yes, you could.
That is a necessity. Yep.
Yes, and that's an excellent segue into the next part of our discussion, which is, okay, so you've decided to go to a music festival. Now what? How do you come out at the end of the weekend, you know, in one piece, ready to go back to work more or less on Monday morning? And as we've been talking about this, I realize it depends heavily on whether it's an outdoor festival or one of these multiple venue, maximum Ames type deals, or if you're camping. So let's start with one of these camping festivals and kind of work our way down to more comfortable type scenarios.
We'll start with the extreme music fans.
Yes, yes.
Not that you have to be a music fan to like to camp, but
we know what you mean. My idea of roughing it is drinking my microbrew beer out of the wrong kind of glass. So, so yes, by all means, kick us off, Lindsay.
Sure. So, I mean, I have recently gotten into also sort of the festival culture. I think there are a lot of people who have found refuge in the Burning Man scene out of festival culture, like people who really like to camp but sort of got tired of, you know, maybe the expense of having to buy your food somewhere and all of that goes along with maybe a more organized music festival. But I would say, I mean, if you're going to camp at a music festival, make sure that you bring enough water. They say, like, you know, 1 gallon per person per afternoon. And there are a lot of videos out there about this specific subject that say if you're not peeing every couple of hours, you are doing something wrong, which is definitely true. But I mean, also, they're nice things to help. You know, if you're camping at a music festival, make sure to bring bug spray. If you light sage and put it on a tiki torch surrounding your camp, that also helps keep the mosquitoes away. You know, if you're going to be camping outside, it's going to be really hot. If you are a fan of, you know, essential oils or sort of that camp of thought, it actually is really nice if you take a squirt bottle and put a few drops of peppermint oil in it and add some water. You can spray it on your skin. It has sort of that menthol-y feel, which I think is really nice when it's 80 degrees, like it's going to be this weekend for Camp Euphoria. So I would also say, I mean, at a camping festival, it's sort of a different culture because you're spending the night. And so I always try and make friends with people that are camping around me. You know, Tressie, you mentioned earlier that you can be worried sometimes about your stuff getting stolen. You know, I try to make friends with the people around my camp so we can all have our little, you know, you'll watch my stuff if I watch yours, and go out of your way to meet new people that you haven't met before, I would say. And then also, I mean, so for specifically, I'm thinking about Camp Euphoria. It's being that festival is hosted on somebody's private land. So it's on a farm. So I always like to remind people, you know, make sure to pick up after yourself. There are people who put on and organize these festivals, and they're required to take care of the trash afterwards. I don't know how many other people have seen all the photos of, like, what the grounds of Glastonbury looked like, or, you know, the grounds up near Rothbury, Michigan, where Electric Forest was at. There's just piles and piles of trash. And so I'd say make sure to pick up your own stuff. It's not the festival's job to clean up your mess.
Agreed. Gentleman of the Road was disgusting afterward. After Mumford and Sons, we were playing soccer with all the trash. Like,
oh my gosh.
Yeah. Pick up after. And people indulge in alcoholic beverages. and other substances. And so just no matter what state of mind you're in, pick up after yourself.
Yeah. And I think, you know, it's okay to go to a festival and have a good time. Just, you know, you're not, even though it's a festival and there's this sort of carnival-esque mood, it's still important to maintain your commitment to civic responsibility and picking up your stuff. Your mom's not with you, you know, unless you have a really cool mom who hopefully will also be picking up her stuff.
You know, now that you mention it, we saw Emily Woodbury, another talk show producer, with her mom at 8035. So I'm sure they picked up all their stuff and left the place exactly as they found it.
I was actually talking, well, a friend of mine was talking to some of the security guards at 8035 and asked them, how does this festival differ from other festivals in terms of your job? Like, which one do you prefer? And they say they just did like a country music festival the week before, and they have to deal with a lot of more like alcohol related fights that they have to break up. Whereas these festivals, there's more illegal activity happening, but there's actually less work for them to do in terms of like, there's less violence and there's less like just like outright problems to deal with. So I thought that was kind of interesting. So the, depending on what kind of festival you go to, much different atmosphere.
Did they happen to say anything about how many incidents there were like that required medical attention, like had to go over to the first aid tent or anything like that?
I don't know. I did hear, I was surrounded by some security guards at one point in an elevator, and I heard their walkie-talkies go off and like, oh, we need a medic here. And I assume most of it has to be due to dehydration combined with the heat, combined with a pre-existing medical condition. So that'd be one thing. Like if you have, like, it's okay to leave. Like I saw a girl that was diabetic and she needed to go take an insulin shot. So she asked the people around her just to save her spot, which is completely a very good tactic. Like you have to take care of yourself, take your medicine, do what you need to do, go find some shade if you start to feel lightheaded.
Sure. Also at a festival, when we're talking about like, you're really a part of a community for a weekend, especially when I think you go to a camping festival. So also as somebody who's been at music festivals and at concerts in general, be respectful in the porta potties.
Oh my god.
It can be such a miserable experience, but
good
if everyone
point.
Does their part, maybe it doesn't have to be that way.
Yes, no, that is bring hand sanitizer with you, possibly a roll of toilet paper.
always bring extra TP.
You know,
always.
They ran out. I could not find a hand washing station at 8035 this past weekend.
They had a like one of the hospitals had a first aid tent set up that had big things of hand sanitizer.
I went to the free water station and just washed my hands there. Yeah. But yeah, I found a porta potty at the end of the night that stuffed with beer cans.
Yeah,
right.
Both. Exactly. And, that's a cool classic.
Came out, there was a woman standing in line behind me, and I just said, do not go in here.
Yeah.
I can't let you do it. So.
Well, and also, I mean, on that, I've been at festivals where there have been signs on the porta potty doors that say, like, this is not a place for yoga, don't hover over the seat, sit on it. Which I think, you know, if everyone did that, it wouldn't be as gross. And also, I mean, so I did a story recently about a Burning Man event that I went to, and it's the people who organize those festivals, or at least those sorts of events, that end up pumping the porta potties themselves or have like a volunteer group of people to do physical plant stuff. And it is really challenging to clean out. Can you imagine having to clean beer cans out of a porta potty before you pump it?
No.
I think that's one of those things that goes into be respectful. If you don't want to clean it up, don't make the mess because someone else is going to have to do it. So
agreed.
Yep, absolutely. Yeah, by the end of the day on Saturday, and we were there pretty late. The streets of Des Moines were piles of trash and the porta potties. It's classic, unfortunately, that the porta potties get filled up with cans. Why would you do that? Why would you put your cans in there? There's no need to do it.
Especially when there are recycling stations 10 feet away.
Yeah, you wouldn't even have to recycle them, but why put them in, why put them in there? I think it's just something, it's part of people's idea of celebrating.
Yeah, I don't know. Just laziness.
I wouldn't do it, but somebody.
I'm the festival goer that will call somebody out on it. So if you see me this weekend,
watch out. Lindsay's looking.
I actually will get made fun of sometimes when I go to festivals like late at night. I had a friend this weekend call me out for going into, quote, survival mode, which really is me in like an army jacket that I have, and I have a flashlight in one pocket, a hand sanitizer, Kleenexes, ibuprofen, and a granola bar in the other. And then I've got on my Camelback, and I usually have chapstick, sunscreen, and bug spray in it, along with like an Altoids container that I carry around as like a portable ashtray if people have cigarette butts.
Oh my gosh.
I'm a big like don't throw cigarette butts on the ground sort of person. And I know that a lot of people do it in places like that. And people who wouldn't smoke regularly may end up smoking in places like that. So... Well, anyway, if you want to go into Girl Scout mode at your festival that you're going to.
Well, cigarette butts in particular, if you're at an outdoor festival and you're, that could be a fire hazard in
it's
theory.
True.
So
it definitely, especially as dry as it's been,
yes.
Like gross. No. Something else, speaking of things got very wet at Gentlemen of the Road, it stormed in the morning. So there was just mud. It was in the whole thing was in a field. So practical things, don't wear shoes or clothes that you're extremely attached to because they're just going to get sweaty. People are going to spill beer on you. Don't do it. I've seen people get very upset when something gets spilled on them and it's like a brand new top they bought for the festival. And I'm like, that's kind of your own fault at that point. And also wear layers because it does get chilly at night sometimes. So I always try and tie like a plaid shirt around my waist or a sweatshirt. So then you can stay cool during the day, but then you have to bundle up at night a little bit.
Right. And let go of your worries about having cute shoes and wear the ones that are comfortable to sand/walk in.
Yep. Just do it. You're going to be in a crowd. No one's going to look down. Nobody will care. 100% guaranteed.
And if somebody does look down and scowls at your feet, they're probably wearing uncomfortable shoes and you will have won the game at the end of the night. So,
Tressa, did you have something to say about backpacks, specifically wearing backpacks into the crowd?
I have been at festivals where it is, I mean, you're not, like a lot of festivals have rules anyway about like your backpack can only be so big. Like you can't bring like a, like legitimately like, traveler's backpack, large backpack with you into the festival just because it's annoying. You are smacking people. There was someone in front of me that had a poster sticking out of their backpack and I eventually just tapped him on the shoulder and said, let me rearrange your backpack because I can't deal with this. And there are two people with large backpacks on toward the front at Gentlemen of the Road. And that's just so disrespectful to me, I think. Like that takes up about at least two more people, like one more person. It's like having another person there. And plus you're getting smacked with it all the time if you're behind them. So don't do it. Like leave it at your campsite.
I also have a pet peeve at festivals when people, especially girls, have really, really long hair and you are like stacked in like sardines and you've got people's sweaty hair touching you. I don't know if that's a thing for anyone else, but that's always been one of my like, can you please just put it up in a ponytail?
Yeah. Okay, noted. Yeah.
No, sure. That's
that's probably
Once again, like dress for the weather. Like don't be ridiculous. Like if it's 90 degrees, like just do something about your hair.
Right. Okay, so we talked about, taking care of yourself, being nice to other people. I have a couple things just to add here. One of them was suggested by our IPR music program director, Al Shares, who suggested there's a popular app that you can use to get a car. We're not going to say the name of it right now because we don't want to give them free advertising or things like that. But really what and this is obviously if you're at one of these city festivals, and really what that one boils down to is if you can avoid driving yourself, do it. And if you absolutely have to drive, drink responsibly. Anything to add to that one?
That's a good idea.
Is what I'll say about the camping ones. I think they lead, overall, the camping ones lead to smarter decisions on that front because you can just walk back to your bed, basically.
Yeah. Also, I mean, on a note about the camping festivals also, when it comes to, people are going to be drinking, I think it's also important to note, like, no means no. It does not mean come back later, try harder, or buy me another drink. No just means no. So on a more serious note about personal safety.
Yep.
Yeah, and that's actually like I was talking to my mother. I was thinking about camping at Hinterland, and she calls me the next day. She's like, Tressa, I just don't, there are predators out there, don't do it. And I mean, I can understand, but if you're in group safety and numbers, all that typical stuff, watch out for your friends, make friends if you're going alone and have them watch out for you.
And then one other thing I'll add is if there are food vendors or beer vendors, they'll have a tip jar. Please tip.
Yeah.
That will come back to you in a good way if you tip generously and often, yeah, in my opinion.
And that reminds me, don't be one of those people who doesn't bring enough cash like me. then you got to go to the ATM and you got to pay those silly fees.
Yep, they do have. Yep. They usually have portable ATMs with $10 service charges.
Stock up on cash. Yep. Yeah,
there's a fee on the other end, and you know it's just ridiculous. And I knew that, but it's always going to cost more than you think.
And a lot of festivals, you can bring an empty water bottle with you, so definitely do that if they allow it, because you do not want to be spending like $3 to $5 a pop on a bottle of water when it's 90 degrees.
Right.
That's silly.
And a lot of festivals also, if you want to carry on more than just a bottle, will let you bring in a Camelback if you bring it in empty. So just don't fill it up before you get there.
Fantastic.
I think we've just about covered it. So one thing about the Hinterland Music Festival, that is an IPR-sponsored event. So we'll have a table there, stop by and say hello. Several of us will be there just kind of taking it all in. That's kind of going to be a weekend off for us, but definitely stop and say hi if you see us at the table. Any final thoughts before we wrap this up?
I don't know. If anyone's going to be at Camp Euphoria this weekend, I will be there. Come say hi. I love meeting new people, so.
For sure. Wear an IPR shirt or something.
Yeah, we'll see. I'll probably be wearing something tie-dye, so we'll probably everyone else there.
Yeah.
which brings us to the point, why isn't there a tie-dyed IPR staff shirt yet?
Hmm. I know. Well,
maybe that's what we'll do with the 1080 at Hinterland.
That'd be cool.
Do tie-dye.
Sounds great. I'll get on that.
Tressa, looking forward to your updates from Pitchfork. We've done stuff with Maximum Ames in the past, but right now we don't know what's going on.
We're unsure about that. I think we just don't really know, but we do have a history with them, so we shall see.
I guess so. All right, I guess that's going to do it. Lindsay, thank you so much for joining us, and we hope we can have you back on one of these in the future.
I'd love to. Thanks, guys.
Awesome. Tressa, Mark, always a pleasure.
Right on.
Yeah, this is fun. We had plenty to say.
Yeah, we always do. We never run out of things to say, except for now. All right. Thanks, everybody. We'll see you next time.
Thank you.